Have you ever met someone who agrees abortion is gruesome but also thinks abortion is okay? Let's talk about how we can respond. Come debrief with us. Hey, my name's Maggie, and I'm here with Ethan and Seth, and we are debriefing pro-life outreach. Seth, do you have an outreach highlight?
I do. All right, so this is from Otterbein, a favorite campus of ours. And this was an interesting dialogue where I was talking to a guy, and he was kind of one of those hecklers. You know the guys, right? And so he was not listening to me, and I would say something. He'd say, "I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What are you saying? I'm sorry, I can't hear you."
Oh my dude, that's so annoying.
I know, right? But I was telling him, like, you know, you're acting this way today. You don't always act this way. RSI is well ready to welcome you. And I think I was asking him, like, you know, you're a person because God made you in His image, and you matter, and all that stuff. And he said, "I don't understand you." What? I said, "Well, God made you. He cares for you." And he said, "Well, good for him." Then he said, "I'm sorry, actually, good for her." I said, "Wait, what?" And he said, "Well, God is gender neutral," which is kind of a funny progression. Like, God is a he, God is a she, then God is gender neutral. And I asked him, "Well, why do you say that?" He's like, "Well, the Bible never says that God is a he." And I was like, "Well, okay, the Bible, God is revealed as the Father. Like, that seems to imply gender, right?" And I thought it was kind of an interesting little low light, maybe not a highlight, but low light from outreach. Have you guys heard that before?
I've heard God the Father not being a man before.
Right, like from Christians, like he's not a human being. Or not male.
Well, yeah, there was actually a Christian movie, I think, where God the Father was portrayed as
I know what you're talking about. I know that movie.
Wow. Woman.
Should I reveal that, or we put in the show notes, or is that like off topic?
I don't know.
I don't know if we can go there.
I don't know.
I've never seen it.
DM us if you want to know what movie it is. Yeah. We'll tell you. It was The Shack,
okay,
right?
Well, on that note.
Is that okay to say in here?
Yes. And on that note, we'll move on to the clip. Well, this was actually at a college, and it's Isaac's clip. And yeah, we can listen to it now.
So just to clarify, ma'am, you do think it's sad, you do think it's gruesome, but you're still collecting signatures to support that.
It's a gruesome photo, absolutely. Right. You're only showing one aspect of the reason people, one aspect of abortion.
Well, there's no reasons displayed in these photos, just the product of abortion, the baby.
Okay, where is this from, Maggie?
Cuyahoga, is that how you say that?
Okay, yeah, yeah. So clearly there were people on campus getting signatures for this radical pro-abortion petition. I think our listeners are familiar with it, but this would go on the ballot this fall in Ohio, make abortion legal through all 9 months in Ohio, and much more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and so, Isaac was talking to people who were considering signing, or talking to the person collecting signatures.
No, he was actually just doing outreach there.
Oh, okay.
Regular outreach, and then she came up to him. One of the first things she said was that those are gruesome pictures. Mm-hmm. And then she was saying stuff about how, oh, and then she was asking about his GoPro, and he was explaining why we use GoPros, like, because people can be violent and we just need proof and stuff like that. And she started saying, oh, I haven't seen people being violent towards pro-lifers, but I have seen people being violent towards pro-choicers. And she started explaining that when she goes out collects signatures, she didn't even like say that she's a signature collector. She just said we.
So like, she wasn't collecting at that moment?
No.
Oh,
she was just walking up. I don't know if she was a teacher or what.
She said she faces violence while collecting signatures.
Yeah. And she starts saying that pro-lifers are verbally abusive, like calling signature collectors or those who would sign baby killers. And so
it's worse than verbal abuse, tearing someone's body limb from limb. I'm just going to say that. I'm not saying I justify the verbal abuse, but.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, that's kind of similar to what Isaac said, like, well, like, we should not, we're not okay with anyone being mean, but we should call it what it is. Abortion is baby killing. We should be honest about that. He said we should call sin what it is. So anyway, yeah, she was a signature collector. And what's so interesting is she was calling these pictures gruesome, but still saying it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I loved Isaac's, it wasn't exactly on this point, but he was explaining the simplicity of our signs, I think, is really important. And I'm sure most of our listeners know what Create Equal Outreach looks like, right? But our signs don't have a lot of words on them. There is a description, abortion. The bottom says age of the baby. But it doesn't say this is wrong. It doesn't say why the mom got this. The reasons aren't for that aren't on there. You're just seeing abortion. So abortion itself is the gruesome act. And I like that simplicity. I think that's really important for getting people. The reason she's upset about it is not because of what we're saying, because of what she's seeing. She's seeing abortion.
Yeah, and it's at these times that I just want to plead with people. Like, please look at the victim. Look at these pictures, please be heartbroken for him or her. But instead, so many people look at the pictures and instead disagree with us for even showing them.
Isn't that so interesting? Like, so a lot of people, I think, even following this amendment in Ohio, and you know, we've been talking about it, it's on our website, createqual.org/Ohio. You can get involved and so on and so forth. But you imagine, okay, everyone out there fighting for this must be ardently pro-abortion and love abortion. And a lot of them do, right? We do not discount that. Yeah. But here's someone who's actively working for the amendment to make it legal to kill babies who is repulsed by abortion. Doesn't that say something, right? Like, it says a lot of things. But I mean, that's, I think, really important to know that that is what's the reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she starts to say that these pictures we show only show one reason. Then she starts over and she's like, they only show one aspect of abortion. Then Isaac still replied to what she was starting to say, that of course our pictures don't show any of the reasons. We agree women get abortions for all kinds of reasons,
mm-hmm.
but none of those reasons justify it, because every abortion kills a child. Every successful abortion, baby killing is part of that intrinsically, or else it wouldn't be an abortion.
Right.
Yeah, I think the words, again, are so instructive here that she led in with. She said it's gruesome, but also sad. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that are gruesome. They're not sad, right? And people on campus tell me this a lot, that when I say, like, you know, it's gross, abortion's gross, abortion's disgusting, they'll say, yes, but open-heart surgery is disgusting. And that's really true. I mean, I get really squeamish when I see any blood at all.
Yeah.
But you're never sad when you see open-heart surgery, right? That emotion is instructive. Why do you feel sad when you see abortion? Because it's killing someone. A lot of things are gross, but not bad or not shameful. Abortion is shameful. It's sad. Those emotions mean something. So I think her own words are tipping us off to what is really at play here, and that is an immoral act.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think no matter the quote-unquote other aspects of abortion, such as what quote-unquote good it might do for the mother, it's never justified, like I said, because of that main aspect, that it kills a human child.
Yeah.
I think of other examples where you could think of good, not really good, but like some kind of profit. This actually relates a lot to an episode that we did recently. I'll put that in the show notes too. But
profit. I misunderstood. I was thinking like someone who speaks a profit. I got you. Okay. Oh, making profit off something.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think of other examples of great injustices and like the idea of justifying them for the profit that came from them is just horrendous. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think of slavery, treating human beings like property was just one aspect of abortion, of slavery. Mm-hmm. It had benefits like cheap products and mm-hmm. ease of life for the slave owners. But, like, it's just like horrible even thinking like that, isn't it? And the Holocaust, discriminating against Jews for their ethnicity was just one aspect of the Holocaust.
Yeah.
But benefits included, I have to be honest, I struggle to think of any quote-unquote benefits for this, but mm-hmm. benefits included large amounts of people being united in one mission, Hitler getting what he wanted, et cetera. Sex trafficking, forcing women to do sex work against their will and objectifying their bodies is just one aspect of sex trafficking. Benefits are the pleasure that men might get from it or the money for those involved. School shootings, killing a bunch of kids is just one aspect of school shootings. Benefits might include comforting the shooter who's probably going through a really hard time, or getting to use a gun in a not self-controlled way. I know, like, just that urge to cause destruction is something that a lot of kids have and then mm-hmm. usually grow out of it or gain self-control, which is a good thing. But I just think of all these examples, like this lady said, that our pictures, they only show one aspect of abortion.
Yeah.
Why does that matter? Like, we're showing what abortion does, that a child is brutally murdered. You can't act like it'll ever be justified just because we only show the aspect of abortion that shows that it kills a human being.
Yeah. Our signs don't show kind of what the woman started to say, the reasons for why women get an abortion. But the reasons why you do something don't change the morality of what you're doing. All the things you just listed, Maggie, we could come up with 100 more positive reasons for those items, for, you know, why it was beneficial for Hitler to massacre 6 million Jews, why it's beneficial for school shooters to be able to unleash their rage in that horrific and destructive manner. But the whole point is that no matter how many reasons or supposed benefits or profit that comes from committing these vile deeds, they will always be vile deeds that are despicably wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing we can do can ever legitimize those.
Yeah, I guess the problem, I think you're exactly right, Ethan, but I think that that is not a moral calculation that people make today, right? Mm-hmm. I think that their concern is that we're leaving out the mother. And so we're not talking about why she's doing this and why she's doing it is going to justify the action or not.
Right.
Right. So, and we recognize that morality does involve motive, intent, right? So like me borrowing your pen, me stealing your pen may look the same, but my motive and purpose distinguishes it. But when a woman or when a mom chooses to pay someone to kill her child, the action she's choosing is having her child killed. Right. Her motives play into it, but when she pays money to this person, she's paying them to do the action of killing a child. Mm-hmm. And so her motives may range from some being concerned for the baby, like not wanting the baby to be part of this world, to concerns for herself, like I want to stay in school. But
right.
regardless, those concerns don't change the fact she's choosing to have someone kill.
Yeah.
That's her choice involved. And we say it's always wrong. Our culture is not willing to call things always wrong today, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the problem. We're coming at it from different moral paradigms.
Yeah.
And so I think that I understand her point here, but it's just not going to change. You're exactly right. What Ethan says is right. It's just not going to change. We could list every reason for abortion on all of our signs. Yeah. It doesn't change the rightness or wrongness of killing the baby, mm-hmm. of purposefully killing the baby.
And I think once we have this conversation about, you know, it being wrong to murder babies, I am all for understanding why people want to do something, because once you understand why someone wants something, you can help them
yeah.
effectively. Mm-hmm. But we all need to acknowledge that it is not helping the woman to allow her to pay someone to kill her child. That's just not something we should enable her in.
You're exactly right. I think that we are not so simple-minded as to reject the fact there are complexities here, right?
Yeah.
Who's going to pay for the baby? Who's going to raise the child? Right. Where will we live? All these big questions. The things that Maggie listed are complexities. There's only one moral question to human slavery, yes. to sex trafficking, to human abortion, elective abortion. There's one relevant question. That is, are we purposefully harming or killing an innocent human? The mm-hmm. other complexities are interesting and important for the people yeah. involved, but they're irrelevant to the moral matter.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to get through, all those the confusion of the moral issue and the surrounding complexities, not mm-hmm. the same thing.
Yeah, because these are things that are evil at their core, so it doesn't matter what context lies around them.
Because they're necessary evils, right? So war is like a conditional evil. War can be good or bad, depending upon yep. why we're going to war.
Yeah.
Not the same with murder, with rape, with elective abortion. These are necessarily evils. They're not necessarily since we need them. They're necessarily evil. They are always evil in any context.
So I honestly love that she used the word gruesome for
yeah.
these pictures. I just wish that she realized it's not just the pictures. It's the actual abortions that are being yeah. photographed. Those are the evil things.
Well, and I guess I have a question for you, Maggie. When you're having conversations with people like this who acknowledge that the pictures are gruesome, and that they are sad, but still think that abortion is okay, how do you go about talking to someone like that? Because it almost seems to me like there's a disconnect there in their thinking. And I don't know that I know the best way to try and help them fix that disconnect mm-hmm. or how to approach that conversation with them. How would you do that?
Yeah, well, honestly, some of my answer so this comes from what I've learned from Seth, but I would ask them, why is it gruesome?
Yeah.
Or maybe if it makes them feel sad at all, why do you think it makes you feel sad? Because like you mm-hmm. said, Seth, it's different than just a heart surgery.
Mm-hmm.
There is an actual reason that it makes us feel sad.
Right.
In a heart surgery, someone's being healed. In an abortion, someone's being killed. So there's a significant difference there.
That's really good, Maggie. I think that's super important. I would add on another thing you could try, though, is stepping outside of the conversation to narrate it for them, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like, you know, we talk about narrating the debate. The person who explains to the audience what your opponent's saying, what you're saying, and keeps them following along wins the debate. And
yeah.
sometimes conversations need that, too. So what Maggie said is exactly right. You might even say to them, so you're using the word gruesome here, and I've explained to you why that's not the same. Abortion's not the same as open-heart surgery. So just pause for a minute and think about what you're telling me. You're telling me that you think abortion is good and legal, is good and should be legal. At the same time, you're telling me it's gruesome and sad. Do you see the disconnect? Just kind of narrate for them their own feelings. You're telling me different things. You're telling me you like abortion or that it's good and that it's yeah. sad and gruesome. Can you explain to me why the disconnect? Make them explain that, because honestly, they might really struggle. And they might start to see, oh my goodness, my worldview that I've accepted does not match the worldview I've internalized in my heart. And maybe there's a problem here I need to work out.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Seth. I think we need to get used to just stepping outside of our conversations, even when we're in the midst of conversations with people. Yeah, well, since we have a couple minutes left, I wanted to go back to how she said that it's verbal abuse to really to be honest about what abortion is. So I'm wondering, like, what is actual verbal abuse and why is this not verbal abuse? How can we distinguish?
I think there's a line that's been lost between verbal abuse and speaking the truth. And speaking the truth in love, because it is possible to speak the truth and be bordering and be verbally abusing someone. Not trying to justify, you know, speaking the truth in anger or harshness. But today, a lot of people will label what they don't want to hear as verbal abuse. Mm-hmm. And so, and I
hate
think
speech.
It, hate speech. And I think in this case, what she's getting at is people are saying things about what she's doing that she doesn't want to hear. And because of that, it is verbally abusive. When, as long as these people are saying these things, you know, in firmly, but in gentleness and love, what they're doing is speaking the truth about what she's doing. That's my thought on that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think abuse comes in many forms, but abuse has a similar intent, right? Your intent is to harm someone.
Yes.
Right? And like abortion, whatever your reason may be, when you pay someone to kill a child, your intent is to kill someone. So right. It takes many forms. Abortion has several forms. Abuse has many forms. But the intent is similar. Your intent is to harm someone. Telling someone the truth, especially as Ethan's saying in love, your intent is, it's going to cause them some discomfort maybe, but your intent is to help the person, to desire what is best for that person.
Yeah.
Clearly not the same thing. So yeah, I can take a truthful message and just make someone, and it's definitely not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do want to clarify, if someone, even someone who we agree with on their positions, we could still disagree with them on how they are approaching people. So we don't want to just defend anyone who agrees with us. If someone is actually being verbally abusive, obviously we do not support that. But if someone is telling the truth, we need to be clear that that's not verbal abuse. We need to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think people can go watch our videos, come on a justice ride, come to Day of Action, whatever, and they can learn that, right? Because it's not just what to say, it's how to say it. We care a lot about that.
Yeah, exactly. And Stephanie Gray talks about that a lot in her book, Love Unleashes Life. So we'll put that in the show notes. But I just read that recently, finished it recently. And I thought at the beginning of the book, like, this is going to be kind of simple stuff that I already know, but even
it's a very small book, but it's great.
Like one day I was actually reading it and it helped me that day in outreach.
Awesome.
Wow.
Something I read in it.
I think it's chapter three, Communicating the Heart. That's my favorite chapter. Just even the at the end, the comments she has, like suggested questions are so good. That's worth the price of the book alone.
Okay. Yeah. So check that out. Definitely. It's definitely worthwhile, not just to know the arguments, but to know how to speak to people in a loving way.
Yeah.
So with that being said, please go leave us a 5-star review, check us out on Instagram, and debrief with us again next week.